We're not going to do our best to try to hold you too long. I don't feel rushed because, again, we're not going to be back out here this evening. So you say, Elder Scudder, you preached a little longer. Well, I'm not going to see you this evening. And I have to make sure I feed you. I got to feed you with thus saith the Lord, because you have a hard day's work ahead of you. Anytime you go out and have to deal with Satan and his workers, it's a job. And you need the Lord's word to feed off of, right? Because if you're not, you'll be fooled by that deceiver that is out there in the land. Now, we're going to deviate a little bit. I don't want to say I'm not going to be talking about the new birth, but the title of the lesson is not going to be the new birth today. I'm going to get back into the new birth prayerfully on next week. But this is something that I felt a need to kind of deal with, especially since it's Father's Day. I don't usually do Father's Day messages or Mother's Day messages. But this will help us hopefully understand a little bit about who we are and what is expected from us concerning Scripture. Now, we want to look at two words this morning. The two words we're going to look at are compromise and submission. Compromise and submission. Now, I gave Kirsten a ball, and I'm going to ask her to pass that ball to someone. All right, so you see that now. Sister Vicky has the ball now. Sister Vicky, you pass it to someone, please. All right. Now, I just want you to think about that as we get into this lesson. Mm-hmm. All right? Now, compromise. Let's see what the definition for compromise is. Compromise is an agreement or a settlement or dispute that is to be that is reached by each side making what? Concessions. In other words, somebody had to give in. Right. They did not necessarily agree, but they had to give in. And they said, well, okay, I'll go on along with it so long as you do this for me. And the other side says, okay, I'll do this for you, therefore we can go ahead and go ahead a little bit further. That's what you call a compromise. Now, submission is totally different from that. Right. Submission is the act or fact of accepting or yielding to a superior force or to the will or authority of another person. All right? That's submission. Submission does not mean compromise. Right. Everybody understand that? Yeah. When you are being submissive, that does not mean compromise. Right. Compromise is when two people that are disagreeing come to an agreement because both are giving up something to keep the progress moving forward. But that is not what submission means. Submission means you're actually giving over to someone that is in, that you view as being superior, that you view as being an authoritative figure. Right. No matter how you think, no matter how you feel, when you are submitting, you're giving over to them. You're saying you are in control. It has nothing to do with how I feel. It has nothing to do with my view or my want. Compromise does. Compromise says, what do you think about it? How do you feel about it? What are you willing to let go so that you can get what you want? That's what compromise says. But submission says, I'm going to do what you say do because you are in control. And I don't, even though I may not like, I may not agree with, I may not want to, because I am being submissive, I'm saying that you are the authority figure, and I'm going to do what you say do. Right? Now, it's just as simple as that ball. Y'all understand that? Yeah. The ball you passed is an example of submission. Because right. I gave you an instruction. Right? Yeah. You had a choice. You could have chose to say, I don't want to pass the ball to somebody else. Mm-hmm. But, or I'll pass it if you give me something. Right? But you chose to be what? Submissive. right? You chose to do what you were told when you were told to do it. Now, what does submissive mean? That you have no control? No. Because you could have chosen to do what? Not do it. And also, you chose who to pass that ball to. Sometimes I don't think we realize when we're being submissive what the Lord is, what burden the Lord is placing on us, or what opportunities Jesus is placing on us. Because again, he didn't tell you, you think about the example of the ball, I did not tell you who to give the ball to. I only gave you an instruction, and you followed that instruction. And then again, there was an empowerment bestowed upon you. Why? Because you had the choice to take the ball wherever you wanted to take it to. So again, when you think about the concept of compromise and submission, you are not going to see compromise in Scripture. Everybody understand that? You are not going to see compromise in Scripture. What you will see is submission. Now, man has come up with the concept of compromise, but that is not something ordained nor sanctioned by Jesus. Jesus' word is not to be compromised. He is not going to give up something so that you and him can move along together. What Jesus says, he intends for you to do it, whether you agree with it or not. Right? That makes sense, doesn't it? All right, so let's look at that italicized words there. It says, compromise is when both people give a little to their mutual benefit. Submission is when only one person gives to the others what? Now, Jesus is not going to submit himself to us. We must do what? Be willing to submit ourselves to Jesus. Now, let's read what the bold print says. Pride is the poison to submission. People don't want to submit because of their pride. Okay? Now let's look at what it says there in Romans chapter number 8 and 7, and then we're going to get ready to get into some of these scriptures. Yes. Yeah, hold up. What does it say? The carnal mind. That's that fleshly mind. So we are, before we even get any further, now, remember, what did I say? You're not going to find in Scripture, you're not going to find compromise. Where did compromise come from? Man, right? So we already know when we talk about the flesh, we're talking about man. We're talking about me or I or self. Self loves compromise. People say this, people do this all the time in marriage. Because they think that the marriage is based upon compromising. Because they say, we're trying to move this thing forward. Now, somebody's got to, you got to give me and I got to give you a little bit so that we can move forward. But that's not the way Jesus set this thing up. Jesus said marriage works when people learn to be what? Submissive. Isn't that something? Huh? That's something, isn't it? Well, you say, well, Elder Scott, that don't seem fair. That man, who is he submissive to? He's supposed to be submissive to the Lord. Right. A whole lot of weight is given to someone when they get that ball. Whole lot of responsibility. Because like if I say to Mother Bess, I'm not going to say it because we're focusing on the scripture right now. If I say to Mother Bess, pass the ball to someone, there's a whole lot of authority that is placed in her hand. Because she has to decide who to pass that ball to. Because when she passes that ball to someone else, now they are the authority figure. Right? They are the ones that are in control. She no longer is in control. Once she gives that ball to somebody else, she can beg and plead all day long. She has lost control. Right? So it's a whole lot of weight when you're saying someone has to be a responsibility of someone being submissive is placed in your lap. When the Lord blessed me to be a husband, a whole lot of authority was given to me. And someone had to be submissive to me, called my wife. But do you realize she did not have to learn, you know, she didn't have to worry about all of the things that go along with me being the authority figure. No, she didn't. She didn't have to worry about protecting. She didn't have to worry about providing. She didn't have to worry about none of those things. Why? Because now she's up under my submission.
Right.
That's what Sister Vicky was talking about this morning during the testimony service.
Yeah.
She realized how blessed she was because she realized her husband provides for her.
Yeah.
She does not have to work if she does not want to.
Right.
But at the end of the day, stuff get caught off, it's on him.
Right.
Huh?
Right.
If stuff get closed up, it's on him. It's not on her.
Right.
And why is that? Because she has submitted herself to him, right?
Right.
Whole lot of weight is in your lap. You ever thought about that?
Oh, yeah.
People haven't thought about that thing. They love to go around and say, you got to do what I say do.
Yeah.
But there's a cost that comes with it.
Right.
You're the one that has to provide, right?
Yeah.
You're the one that has to protect, right?
Yeah.
Huh?
Yeah.
We love that. We love that. You got to do what I say do. But you got a whole lot of weight. You got a whole lot of responsibility. Because if the ship fails, who's at fault? Huh? The wrong choice is made, who's at fault? Huh? No different than that ball. We lose the game, who's at fault? Yeah. Well, who had the ball? Huh? It was a team effort, but who had the ball? Huh? I guarantee you got a basketball game. And the people are going to watch how many people shot the ball, who made it, and who missed it. And the one that's going to get blamed for the team losing is the one that missed it every time they had the opportunity, right? See, with submission comes a lot. Because when the Lord has given you that authority, it's a lot of weight that goes along with it. Success and failure. Huh? Whether we win or lose. Huh? Does that make sense?
Yes.
Makes sense to me. Yes. Makes sense to me. So Romans 8 and 7 says what?
It says, because the carnal mind
is enmity.
Hold
up. There is, first of all, we already know the Lord is not going to compromise.
No.
Not with our carnal mind.
No.
He's already telling you that carnal mind is enmity against me.
Right. Right.
Huh? Keep going.
It is not subject.
Or that word submissive. Uh-huh. It is not subject to what?
The law of God.
It doesn't want to do the word. And it can't do the word. That carnal mind is not subject to the word. And it what? It can't. Huh? That's why you got to be careful. Not to let that carnal mind enter into a negotiation with you. Huh? Because that carnal mind is going to want you to do something. It's going to want you to concede. Huh? And remember, in Scripture, there is no compromise. Huh? You created enough. People always say, well, what about the devil? The devil don't want you to compromise either. He wants you to be submissive to him. When he tells you to do something, he's winning the shot. He's calling it. He's calling the shot. When Adam and Eve ate of that fruit, they were submit. They didn't make a concession. There was no compromise with the devil. He was in submission. They did exactly what he wanted them to do. Right? Remember, what did I say? There is no compromise. Who has created compromise? We have. Huh? And that kind of thinking is what? It's enmity. Huh? According to the scripture, the carnal mind is what? Enmity. And also, what do we say? It is a pride. Pride. Pride is a poison. Huh? Is a poison to what? Submission. Elder Scott, I'm having a hard time following that person's authority. What is that person telling you? I'm having a hard time dealing with my pride. Huh? I just don't want to let pride go. Huh? Does that make sense? Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. That's why the scripture said that there's always a haughty spirit. There's always a haughty spirit before a fall. If you want to avoid falling, you got to get rid of that pride. You got to get rid of that attitude of wanting to be in control and just wait your turn. Huh? Come on, saints. Does that make sense? One day the ball is going to be passed to you. But the question is, when you get it, what are you going to do with it? You better ask the Lord Jesus, give me the wisdom. Huh? give me the wisdom to learn how to be submissive. Even when I get the ball, I still want to be submissive to Jesus. Huh? Oh, yeah. Did I lose authority just because you got the ball?
No.
No. I'm the one started it off. Huh? Just because you're now in control, don't forget who gave you the word. Huh? That's the truth. Lord gives us so many things in life. And just because he give it to us, we cannot forget the source. Huh? You cannot forget. Just because you think that you are in control, don't forget who gave it to you. As you were reminding today, because you cannot forget the equation. The facts are, the source gave you nothing when you came into this world. And the source have already told you, you will take nothing with you when you leave. He's the one that brings our souls into existence. Huh? Adam, before, while he was formed, he was nothing until Jesus breathed in him the breath of life. And when Jesus breathed in him the breath of life, then and only then, he became a living soul. Right? Come on, saints, that's true. All right, I'm finished with Romans 8 and 7. And then let's look at some of these scriptures. Each one of you, let's look at it. Ephesians chapter number 5 and verse number 22.
That wife, submit yourself unto your own.
So that wife got to know she no longer can listen to her brothers. She can't listen to her uncles. She can't even listen to her daddy no more. Once she says, I will, to that man, she is to be submissive according to the scripture to what? Her own husband, right? As unto who? See, the Lord says that woman now is showing that she is submissive to Jesus, but how much she is submissive to her husband. Now, Sister Scott can't go past me and say, oh, I'm going to submit to the Lord. The Lord is going to look at her and say, what about your husband?
Right.
Huh? Well, you remember that song that fella said? The woman was denying her children and her family food to eat. And she was so saved. She said, you better leave me alone. You know, I'm saved. Huh? So she went past who she was supposed to be submissive to call herself serving the Lord. Huh? And that wasn't right. What caused her to think that way? Pride. Huh? She was going to put her wants above who she was supposed to be submissive to. Because the scripture specifically says, wives, submit to who? Yeah. Colossians says the same thing. Colossians 3 and 18. Huh? Isn't that something? So we've got to get this in our mind. The importance of learning how to be submissive. You all realize you won't even receive the Holy Ghost until you learn how to be submissive. Because the Holy Ghost is an authority. Holy Ghost is an authoritative spirit. And when the Holy Ghost knocks at the door, he's not knocking to compromise. Right? Jesus said, behold, I stand at the door and I knock. If any man do what? Hear my word. Well, what is that word going to tell you to do? Open up. Huh? That means you got to learn how to be submissive to whatever Jesus tells you to do. That's why he says also in the book of Acts that the Holy Ghost is given to those that learn how to obey him. He's giving you instruction, and you need to learn how to be submissive to his instruction, right? It's not about what you think. It's not about how you feel. It's not about how convenient it is. It's you learning how to be what? Submissive. Huh? Taking that low road. Huh? Oh, yes. That's why it's important, again, to understand where does submission learn, where does it belong at in my life? You do your best to teach it to your children while they're young. The importance of learning how to be submissive to who? To your parents. Huh? That's why the Lord told the child from the beginning, learn this lesson. Learn this lesson of submission while you're young. Yes. Why? Because it'll benefit you when you get older, right? Yes. Your days will be longer, right? Yes. Children, obey your parents, right? Yes. Why? Because this is right. Yes. Huh? Yes. This is just the right way to do stuff, right?
Yes, yes it is.
That's the truth. Thank you, Jesus. You get it in their minds while they're young. Mm-hmm. When they get older, they won't have a problem.
Yes.
Huh? But you find them. We're living in a society that is not teaching that. We're living in a society that is messing up these people before they even get started. They're telling them in their minds, do what you want. Do how you feel. Huh? Oh, no, 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 no. Not in a holy environment. You cannot do what you want in a holy environment. You cannot do how you feel in holiness. Holiness is all about submitting to the authority of Jesus. Huh? Doing things the right way. Not the way you feel, but the way Jesus says for it to be done, right? Does that make sense? Huh? We done messed ourselves up, saints. We think we're God because we have adopted the term compromise. And we think we can negotiate our way into the kingdom. Huh? Here you gonna think you're gonna make a deal with Jesus. Jesus don't make deals. Huh? Come on, go down to the bottom. That's why I got down in that post-it note. So it's a reminder for you and I not to forget it. Huh? These are some facts right here. Get some of those scriptures. Forever. What are Psalms 119:8 say? I don't care how old you get. Huh? I don't care how young you are. I don't care where you go at in the earth. How long? The Lord says forever. Huh? That means this scripture is applied to tomorrow and the day after that. Huh? This scripture is applied that the Lord should let me see 100. The word is still going to be saying the same thing. It says what? Forever. Forever, oh Lord, what? Your word is what? It's settled. In other words, there is no compromise. It's already settled. It is the foundation of the earth, right? Whole earth is dependent on the Lord's word. Huh? If the earth is dependent on it, what about you and I? Y'all understand that? This whole earth is dependent upon the word of Almighty God. If that is true about the earth that you and I walk on, what about us? You realize there would be no light unless Jesus said, let there be light. There would be no grass. Unless Jesus said, let the earth bring forth seed after its kind. Huh? There will be no firmament in the heavens unless the Lord spoke it to be so. Huh? There will be no dry land unless the Lord told the water to go back. Huh? These are the facts of life. Huh? His word is already what? Settled, right? Not for some of the time, but forever. And we need to make sure it's settled inside of us. Huh? When the Lord speaks something, we just got to have it settled. Amen. People may not agree with it. We just got to say, no, Jesus said this. And if Jesus says it, I got to be okay with it. He's not asking my opinion on it. Huh? He's telling you it's already what? It's fixed. Huh? He said, I do not change. I'm the same yesterday, today, and forever. People change, but Jesus said, I do not change. You come with me next month, I'm going to be the same way. You come with me next year, I'm going to be the same way. If he says it's wrong, then it's still wrong, right? I got to get it settled. Where? In my mind. Huh? That's the truth. His word is already settled in heaven. It's settled in the heavens. Now you need to have it settled away in your own mind. Huh? Come on, give me some of those other scriptures. Colossians 1:20-23. Yes. Hold up. So that let me know there is no peace. As long as I'm in sin, sin is the issue. Huh? Say, Elder Scudder, I'm struggling. Sin is the issue. I'm not happy. Sin is the issue. Stop trying to look for other answers. Jesus done told you the problem of humanity is sin. Huh? Lord says, behold, my hand is not short that it cannot save you. My ear is not heavy that I do not hear you, but your iniquities, in other words, your sin, have separated you from your God, right? And he told you the wage of sin is death. You talking about you want to live, but you don't want to get rid of the sin, right? You got to get rid of sin, right? There is no peace, says my God, to the wicked. The wicked are like the troubled sea, whose waters cast up nothing but mine dirt. They are tossed to and fro. They speak lies. They've gone astray. Why? Because they are wicked, right? Huh? That's the issue. That's the fact, right? But the Lord says, I've made peace. Mm-hmm. So hold up, hold up. There's only one that gave the wicked peace. Mm-hmm. That's Jesus. Yes. He proved himself when he was in the Gospels, mm-hmm. when they were on that ship. And that boat was rocking because of the storm, and they were fearing death. They said, we are going to die. Yet we look in the back of the ship, and we see Jesus asleep. And they say, Lord, how can you sleep when we are facing death? The Lord looked at them and said, you are of little faith. In other words, as long as I am on this ship, you cannot die. As long as Jesus is here, we cannot die. He's taken the sting out of death. He gave us victory over the grave, right? He said, follow me, I'm the resurrection and the life. We cannot die in Jesus, right? Do y'all believe that? I know it. You cannot die in Jesus.
Thank you, Jesus.
You say, Elder Scudder, but you're going to stop breathing. But I'm not going to be dead. Why? Because I'm in Jesus. He said, I'm going to be asleep, right? I'm not going to die. I'm going to be asleep, right? Yes, the world will bury me, but I will be asleep. Why? Because I'm getting up. That is my hope, right? Just like he overcame death, he said, because I live, you shall live also, right? I got the keys to both hell and death, right?
That's what he said. Thank you, Jesus.
That is my hope.
Yes, yes,
yes. Jesus. How could you live and they shooting all around you? Because I got a hope in Jesus. Yes. Do you realize if a bullet takes my life, I'm still not dead? Yes. Why? Because I've got Jesus, right? Yes. One day he's going to call me. Yes. Just like he called Lazarus, right?
Yes. Yes.
Just like he called Lazarus, he said, loose him, right? When the Lord calls me by my name, wherever you bury me at, I'm getting up, right? I am getting up. I'm getting up not because of me, but because I've learned to submit myself. I've learned to give over to his authority, right? I ain't going in the grave with my own authority. I'm going in the grave submitting to Jesus. Saying, Lord, you are in control. I am dependent upon you. I can do nothing without you, right? You are the reason why I exist. In him I do what? Live. Move. Without him I'm nothing. Do y'all believe that? Without Jesus you're nothing. You can't do nothing without the Lord. This word is settled. Come on, saints, I'm trying to get it to you. This word is settled, right? Now, if it's settled in heaven, it better be settled in your mind, too. And the minute you go around thinking you call the shots, you are going to be in trouble. Oh, yes, saints, that's true. That is truth. Lord says he is the one that created the peace. Do y'all understand that? We would not have peace if it was not for Jesus. Peace is not because I got a job. Peace is not because I got a family. Peace is not because I got a place to lay my head. Jesus is my peace. If I have no Jesus, I have no peace. Do y'all believe? I believe that. That is fixed in my mind. It's settled in heaven, and now it's got to be settled in me. Jesus saying to himself, he says, I'm the only reason the earth has peace. I'm not because you're not shooting a gun or a missile. That ain't the reason you ain't got no. I am the only reason the earth has peace, right? He said it. What does that Colossians say? That's how he made the peace. How he made peace through his blood. Now, how in the world are you going to find peace outside of the blood? See, the devil is trying to get you to compromise with a God that can't be compromised with. You've got to submit yourself to his authority. Get in the blood and stay there, right? Get up under that blood and stay right there. Get it fixed in your mind. I must be up under the blood. I don't care what the world is doing. I don't care where the world is going. I must be up under the blood. Why? Because up under the blood is where my peace is. Is that what the scripture says? Keep going.
And it says, by him to reconcile all things.
What is he striving to do? He's trying to bring it back.
Mm-hmm.
Reconcile means to bring that thing back. Right. Make it back at harmony with. Mm-hmm. Sin caused the breakup.
Mm-hmm.
Sin caused a mix-up. Huh? Don't you know when Adam and Eve sinned, they messed the whole world up. Ever since they sinned, everything been dying. Huh? Animals want to live, they die. Plants want to live, they die. Fish want to live, they die. Huh? Birds want to live, they die. Ever since Adam and Eve, everything's been dying. Humans want to live, yet they die, right? Huh? But Jesus says, I've come that you might have life. Huh? He gave us peace. Huh? Is that what the scripture says? Having reconciled. Read the rest of that back. Yes. Who is it going to be by? Y'all got that fixed in your mind? I only live by Jesus. I only live because of Jesus. Without Jesus, I have no life. Huh? Oh, yeah, you got to get it fixed. It's already settled in heaven. Huh? I'm trying to tell you, the heavens already understand this. It's the earth that's struggling. Why? Because we're too busy compromising. We're trying to make backdoor deals. You give a little, I'll give a little. And because we move on, because we take another step, here we think we're doing something. But the Lord said, my word is already settled. Huh? It's not going to change, right? If it's settled in heaven, it's got to be settled in my mind, right? Read a little bit more. Yes. Yes.
That were sometimes alienated and enemies.
How was I? Yeah, in other words, I ain't had nothing to do with no Jesus. I was far away from Jesus. How I get so far away from you? Because of my sin? I was too busy enjoying sin. Everything sin told me to do, you did it. Huh? Oh, I pray that the Lord delivered you from that spirit. Huh? Everything sin told you to do, you did it. And if you're still doing it, I'm telling you, you're going to die. Huh? Why? Because you're submitting yourself to the wrong one. Huh? Come on, you are submitting yourself to the wrong one. The thief has come for nothing but to steal, kill, and destroy you. Jesus says, I am come that you might have life, right? You need to learn how to submit to Jesus. Why? Because you want to live. Is that? I'm sorry. That's just the facts. Sometimes we were alienated and enemies. Where was our enemy in that? So where was sin at? Sin had fixed itself in my brain. Huh? That's why the first step in salvation is repent. Huh? You got to change your thinking. Huh? You got to say sin no. Huh? Sin no. Every time it try to tell you to submit, do it. You got to say no. And do not compromise. Do not negotiate with it. Why? Because it's trying to kill you, right?
Thank you, Jesus.
Huh? Yeah. I told you. Both of them operate the same. Jesus and the devil operate the same way. Both of them want you to submit. Huh? Now the question is, who you going to submit to? You going to submit the right or you going to submit the wrong? Satan all day long is wrong. Huh? I don't care how he dressy it up. I don't care how he pretty it up. It's still wrong. Creature was never created to worship one another. Yet that's all we do is idolize one another. Huh? Somebody wearing it, I want to wear. Somebody buys it, I want to buy. Someone goes there, I want to go there. I see the pictures, oh, it looked nice, I got to get there. Who's in control? Huh? Let me show you another picture. A fire and brimstone. Huh? Let me paint another portrait for you where there's weeping and gnashing of teeth. Huh? Whose ever name is not found written in the Lamb's Book of Life, right? Now you ask yourself your question, where do you want to go?
Thank you, Jesus.
Huh? Y'all understand that, saints?
Yes. Thank you, Jesus.
You don't have Jesus, you're none of his. You got that fixed in your mind. It's settled in heaven. It's got to be settled in your mind. If I do not have Jesus, I am none. Zero. I don't belong to him, right? He disowns you completely, right? That's why you got to be at that door. Jesus, please. Huh? Whatever your word is saying, help me to do it, right? He said, open up the door and I will do what come in. You got to learn to do what? Submit yourself. Does that make sense? It makes sense to me. I'm trying to tell you, the thing that is alienating you, the thing that is causing you to be an enemy, huh? Where is it at? It's all in your mind. Huh? Because you think you are just so important. Jesus just can't function without you. Huh? You think you are so significant that the heaven just can't praise without you. Jesus said, I don't need you. I can create beasts to praise me 24/7. When you sleep, they still shouting holy, right? That lets you know Jesus don't need you. Huh? You got to get that fixed in your mind. Jesus don't need you. Sunrise is with or without you. Go ask your dead mom and your dead daddy. Huh? Go ask your dead grandpappy and grandmammy. Huh? Sun's still rising, isn't it? And if it's still rising and they dead and gone, what you think about you? Huh? The earth is still going to be moving without you. Huh? But the question is where you going to be at? Huh? Where will I be when I stop breathing? Huh? Oh, yeah. Oh, yes. I'm just trying to get you to think. You better not go to the grave an alien. You better not go to the grave an enemy. You better fix that issue in your mind. Huh? You better fix it real quick. Huh? Well, where's the primary? It's in your mind. Huh? Notice what the Lord said. He didn't say it's in you all. Huh? He didn't say it's in your family. Huh? He says it's in your mind, right? You need to fix some issues in your mind. Those thoughts that are telling you, do it. Huh? Do it. Those thoughts that tell you to say it. Huh? Oh, Sister Mitchell, you hit that nail right on the head this morning. You hit it. Because I gave you the word. I gave you what Jesus gave me. You need to change your vocabulary. Now, you could have negotiated and compromised with that old demon spirit if you wanted to. And said, as long as I don't say it around Elder Scudder, I'll be all right. Huh? But little she had to understand, the word was settled in heaven. This message didn't come from Elder Scudder. Huh? Jesus was looking out for me. He wants me to be holy, right? He wants me to be sanctified, right? Huh? And he's trying to tell me, Mitchell, huh? You want to go back with me? You got to change the way you speak, right? Huh? You got to get rid of it. Where's it at? It's in your mind, right? Huh? It's in your mind. Huh? You can blame somebody else all you want. It's in your mind. Huh? You got to stop it, right? Huh? Tiger didn't put it there. Huh? Tiger just doing what he's supposed to do. He's a cat, right? Huh? But that no good thing, where it's in who? It's in my mind. Huh? And it's not looking to compromise. It wants me to be submissive. Huh? Satan wants me to throw him the ball. Yeah, that's what he wants you to give him the ball. So he can make the decision. Huh? Where's it gonna go at now? For you know you'll be over somebody's house. Huh? That you had no plans to go at. Talking about something you had no business talking about. Doing something you have no business doing. Because if you had it in your mind that Jesus sees you and you had that fixed in your mind, you would have never went there. You would have never said that. You would have never hung around that person. Why? Because you know Jesus done told you they are his enemy. Huh?
And the last thing I want the Lord to see me is hanging out with his enemy, right?
Yes, yes.
Does that make sense?
Yes. Well, thank you, Jesus.
Y'all just got to, they're not my enemy, but I'm not worried about you. Right. You need to worry about Jesus. Yes. Jesus said they are his enemies.
Yes.
Huh? I just got to have that. I'm trying to tell you. It's people out there, the Lord look at them as his enemies. People that Jesus says, I'm upset with every day. Huh? He said he's angry with the wicked every day. Now you want to hang out with the wicked? Man, I'm trying to get that out of me. Huh? Lord said, get it where from out of your mind. Is that what? Don't go to the grave an alien. Don't go to the grave an enemy. Huh? Where is this alien at? Where is, you too busy looking up in the sky for UFOs. Huh? I see green men. Huh? Go right on. The devil will show you whatever he needs to show you. All to keep you forgetting about your soul, right? You and them little green men you see are going to be in the lake of fire.
Yes.
I saw a spaceship. Go right on. Keep right on seeing. I'm trying to tell you.
Amen.
You better see Jesus. Huh? Why? Because you're thinking about stuff and got nothing to do with your soul. Huh?
Yes. Thank you, Lord. I thank you.
The devil will show you a whole lot.
Yes.
He will make stuff appear.
Yeah.
It'll be fixing your mind. Can't nobody tell you you didn't see it.
Right.
And before you know it, you'll be right out there looking for it.
Yeah.
Time just wasting away.
Right. Yeah. Thank you, Jesus. I thank you, Jesus.
And then you're going to question this very book.
Right.
It can't be real because the Lord never told me about this stuff that I saw. Mm. Who have you submitted yourself to?
Right.
Huh? Yeah. He's going to hell. And he wants you to go right along with him.
Yes.
by any means necessary.
Yes.
If he got to send you strong delusions.
Yes.
Is that what the scripture says?
Yes.
If he got to send you strong delusions. The scripture said they would rather believe a lie.
Yes.
Rather than the truth.
Yes.
Does that make sense, saints? I'm trying to tell you, we better fix our minds.
Yeah.
We got to fix the way we're thinking.
Yeah.
Huh? By wicked works, you now have been reconciled.
Mm-hmm.
Keep going.
In the body of his flesh.
Yes. Yes.
To present you whole.
Why did Jesus die?
To present me whole.
His goal is to present me.
Mm-hmm.
He, in other words, I got to be willing to do what? Submit.
Uh-huh.
Huh? Because he's going to be telling me things I need to do. And I need to just do whatever he say do. Why? Because one day is going to be presentation time. One day you're going to have to stand up and show your science project. Huh? And you're going to have to tell it how it works. Huh? Why? Who's going to be the judge? Jesus. Huh? Come on. Jesus is going to look you over. Huh? He's going to ask you who made it. You want to look at him and say, Jesus, you made this project. Huh? You made this body, Jesus.
Thank you, Jesus.
How does it work, Jesus? It works because of you. I am the workmanship of your hands. Huh? See, saints? That's the truth. You're going to have to present yourself to Jesus. Huh? Who said he, in the body of his flesh through death, to present you holy? And unblameable and unreprovable in his. Huh? This God better forget worrying about how I think she looks. She better focus on what does Jesus see. Because at the end of the day, her presentation is not going to be made to me. She's already done that. That's why I asked her to marry me. Huh? Only way she could be, I could have asked her if she had to present herself. There were many presentations. The Lord put the authority in my hand and said, Stephen, where are you going to throw the ball? Huh? I had to choose. Huh? Is that true? And just because I asked, doesn't mean she had to say, yeah, I'll marry you. Didn't I tell you authority works different ways? Mother, give me that ball real quick. See, I had the authority. Now, all of you are the females. Huh? All of you are my options. I chose. Huh? I took my authority. Will you marry me? Now look, think about that. I asked, who did I give the ball to?
Mother.
Now, who has the ball now? What could she have done?
She could have rejected.
No. What could you have done? You could have what?
Rejected.
Yes.
Oh, don't take it.
Yeah.
Okay.
Will you marry me? In other words, she had the choice. She did not have to accept what I said. That's what I'm trying to tell you. This concept of submission, you don't devalue the authority that the Lord places in you. You think because you being submissive, it make you weak. There's a responsibility that's placed in your lap.
Yes.
Huh?
Yes.
Who does she now, again, she done took the ball from me. She got the ball. Now, with us, Jesus have given us two.
Right.
That now have to be submissive to who?
Over y'all.
But what does the Lord tell me? Who does the Lord say to raise the children?
In the way that you go.
Isn't that something? Mm-hmm. See how submission went on down the ladder?
Yeah.
To the mother.
And now who was submissive to her?
The children.
See, did she really give up something?
No.
If you looking at a team, look at the team. Mm-hmm. I only gained team of one.
Right.
She got two.
Right.
Your mother tell them you got a big team, right? Mother gonna say, I'm a force to be reckoned with. Huh? Yeah, she's a force to be reckoned with.
Yes, yes.
See, the concept of submission, you're not losing, but you're only doing what you're gaining. You learn to just be submissive to Jesus, you gain. Lord say, no good thing will I withhold from you. As long as you do what? Walk up right before.
Yeah.
Learn how to be what? Submissive to Jesus.
Right.
You too busy trying to do what the world do. The world has created compromise, not Jesus. Okay? All right. Come on. Let me do the things that are pleasing in the sight. Did you finish reading?
You can see you in the face.
Yet grounded and settled. Didn't I tell you it's already settled in heaven? It must be settled in your mind. What does it look like when I'm grounded and settled? The next verse says, I'm not moved away. Huh? That's when you're grounded and settled. You're not moved away. Huh? Sister Scudder cannot look for another husband because she has one. Huh? She cannot say, I could have done better if. Huh? That's worldly compromise thinking. Huh? She must be submissive to who she said, I will. Huh? I don't care how good they look. I don't care what they can offer her. She has submitted herself to who? Until I'm dead. Does that make sense? I feel sorry for some of these men, man. I feel sorry because you're going to have to give an answer. You created this team. Lord didn't tell you to go out there and do something you wasn't ready to do. The minute you opened up your mouth and you said, will you? And that person says, I will. You made a team. And the Lord told you to lead your team. Huh? Huh? If you fail, it's going to be on you. I see a whole lot of failures. Jesus, please help me not to fail. Yeah. Because it's on me, isn't it? Huh? Y'all see how the chain, it just goes down the chain? Huh? That's why it's important that when I find one, she learned how to be what? She learns that lesson. Because it's going to be all on her to make sure she trains their mind on how to be what? Now, what if she has a problem being submissive to me? Guess what she's going to pass along to them? Is that a good environment?
No.
Now you done created an environment that's anti-Jesus.
Yeah.
And here you are, the parent. Going to do what the world do. Compromise.
Well, maybe if you do this, then maybe we'll do this for you. That's not parenting. You must do X, Y, and Z. Huh? Well, what am I? You're not going to get anything.
You ain't going to give me no. I'm not giving you anything. This is what you must do. Does that make sense? See, we create these little toxic environments. Hey, you done became a negotiator with your children. Now, guess what they're going to go into a relationship thinking? I got to negotiate. Now, here, son, going to not know how to be a man because nobody told him the principles of someone is going to have to be submissive to you. And now he's going to go out there and find another woman, and he's going to let her call the shot.
Because in the beginning, Jesus was
going to be called. Yeah, that's what I thought. I mean, his word is what? Settled.
Right.
There is no compromise.
No.
You do what he say do, period.
Yeah.
Whether you agree with it or not.
Right. Thank you, Jesus. I thank you.
And you realize, Jesus, he never tells you to do something that's going to hurt or harm you.
Amen.
He sure don't. I pass this wisdom along to Deacon all the time. Love your wife like you love the church.
Right.
Then I don't have to ever worry about it if he's going to hurt her.
Right. Right.
Huh?
Right.
Not if he loves her like he loved her. When he neglects the church, I already know he's neglecting where.
Mm-hmm.
It's a domino effect.
Right? Yes.
When I neglect you, you automatically, you don't have to want to say, I just got to, he sure must be taking care of his home. He can't be taking care of his home. He's neglecting the church.
Right.
Huh? Didn't I tell you the concept of learning submission?
Mm-hmm.
Pass that along real quick. We throw that thing out real quick. Oh, wives, learn how to be submissive to your husband. But who that husband got to be submissive to? Or when we find it, well, a whole lot of them just say, I'm doing it the way I want. Well, you done messed up right then and there. Because you can't do nothing without Jesus. You done messed up right then and there. You done messed up your whole life. And not only your life, you're going to mess up everybody come after you. Does that make sense? All right, come on. Don't be moved away from the hope of the gospel, which you have heard and which was what? Preached to every creature. Which was under heaven. Yeah. Where was the gospel preached at? To every creature.
Under heaven.
Huh? Everybody understand that? That's where the gospel was preached at. To every creature that was under heaven. Somebody get each one of those gospel scriptures. You're going to see the same thing. Matthew is going to say the same thing as Mark. Mark is going to say the same thing as Luke. What does it say there? Heaven and earth is going to do what? So where does the word need to be? I need that kind of word inside of me.
Right.
I don't need the word that's going to pass away.
Right.
I need a word that's going to be what? Settled. That's not going nowhere.
Right.
That's going to be the same yesterday, today, and forever. Right?
Right.
Huh?
Yes.
Somebody get Isaiah 40:8. Y'all going to notice those gospel scriptures are going to say the same thing. I just want to make sure y'all understood that. Jesus puts great emphasis on the value of his word. The surety of his word. His word is not going nowhere.
Right.
His word is fixed. His word is not going to change. What does Isaiah chapter number 40 and verse number 8 say? The grass does what? In other words, grass and what else? Flowers are controlled by seasons. They're controlled by time. But the word is timeless. Huh? He already told you in Isaiah, it is forever. It is not bound by time. So if I want to endure seasons, I've got to get the word in me, right? That's the only way you're going to be able to sustain this thing called life. Life is full of change. But if you get the word in you, the word changes not, right? Does that make sense? Huh? Does that make sense, saint? It says the flower does what? Withers. The grass fades away. The flower withers. Something like that. But the word does what? Get that fixed in your mind, saints. Get it fixed in you. Notice on the back page, this is something that I shared with my crew, I believe last night. Just a concept of knowing that my focus needs to be on doing what? Pleasing Jesus. I need to focus on that. That has to be my concentration. I need to concentrate on pleasing Jesus, not who? They can't be pleased. Man is indecisive. Doesn't know what he wants. Remember, what has he created? Compromise. He doesn't know what he wants. It changes. The only reason people have to compromise is because they want too much. You don't know what they want. Every compromise comes because people change. They make different changes and decisions. They have these things that they run with called choices. And they think, because I have choices, I'm in control. Mm-hmm. Yes, you do. Yes, you do. If you look above that post-it note, look at what it says there. When people think that they have choices. Those two scriptures, one in Hebrews, I believe, or the one in Romans 10 and 3, and the one in 1 Corinthians or 1 Kings 18 and 21. What does Romans 10 and 3 say?
Without being ignorant of God's righteousness and going about to establish
choices. They think because they have choices, wow. Huh? That they are kings, wow. That they are in control, huh? And what? How are they moving, though? They're moving out of complete ignorance. The root word of ignorance is the concept of ignoring. What are they ignoring? Facts. Huh? Facts. Reality. They go about establishing their own righteousness and have not done what? Yeah. That's right. So I need to be concerned about Jesus' righteousness. Why? Because I need to learn how to do what? Submit to it. Next one in 1 Kings, what did I say? 18. 21, what does it say there?
And Elijah came unto all the people and said,
how long?
If the Lord be good, be God.
Follow him. Uh-huh. Submit yourself to Jesus.
Right.
If you say you believe Jesus God, follow him.
But if thou then follow
him,
and the people answered him.
That's the problem, because they wanted to compromise.
Right.
Huh?
Yeah.
Silence is consent.
Yeah.
People sometimes think, say, well, if I don't say anything, I won't be held accountable. Mm-hmm. Yes, you will. Because
right.
The Lord's word is to be obeyed.
Right.
Huh?
Yeah.
If you look at Hebrews 13 and 17, what does it say there?
Mm-hmm. Hebrews 13, 17.
Yeah. Obey those that have the rule over you.
Right.
And submit yourselves who? That's right. See the responsibility that is placed in the hands?
Yes.
I have to give an account, right? For who? That's right. So if you look on the back there, I'm going to let you get ready to go. But I had this thing here, and I gave this again to my crew, and I said that I will share it with the saints, the importance of understanding why we must focus on pleasing Jesus and not ourselves. Just look at a couple of these. Look at Galatians 1 and 10. Now, this is the International Standard Version. This is not the King James Version. I just wanted to put it in some regular talking for my crew. Who are you trying to win the approval of? Huh? Who are you trying to get to say you're doing good? That's it. Because at the end of the day, he's the only one that matters.
Right. Next question says what? Or am I trying
to please people? If I were trying to please people, I would not.
That's right. I'm not going to be Jesus' servant. Everybody understand that? Look at that 1 Thessalonians 2:3-7. Go ahead, read that, baby.
For our appeal to you does not spring from deceit.
Yes.
Impure motives or trickery.
Yes.
Rather, because we have been approved by God to be entrusted
with the gospel.
We speak as we do.
Yes.
Not trying to please people.
That's true. That's true. That's true. When I'm giving you the word, I'm not trying to please you. Don't look for the message to always agree with you. It's not. Sometimes I'm going to say stuff that you're not going to like. It's the reality. If you think about if you're doing something that you want to do, and Jesus telling you, you got to stop. Jesus telling you flat-footed, I'm not going to compromise. Somebody's got to be willing to let go. And remember, Jesus is never going to submit to you. So somebody's going to walk away unhappy.
Jesus don't care.
What has he got to lose? He's God whether you believe him or not. He's on the throne. He's going to do what he wants, when he wants. That's what makes him sovereign. Read a little bit more.
We did not come with flattering words.
That's true.
Or with a scheme to make.
Thank the Lord, y'all are here, right?
Yes.
We did not seek praise from people.
From you or from anyone.
Isn't that the truth?
Even though, as apostles of the Messiah, we might have made such demands. Instead, we were
gentle among you, like a nursing mother. That's true. That's true. Look at the Colossians one.
Whatever you do, work at it wholeheartedly, as though you were doing it for the Lord and not merely for people.
Keep going. Look at 1 Thessalonians 2:4. Jump down
but
one.
As we were allowed of God to be put in trust with the gospel, even so we speak, not as pleasing men, but God, which trieth our hearts.
Look at 1 John 3:22. This is we went over this on our Bible class.
Whatsoever we ask, we receive of him, because we keep his commandments and do those things that are pleasing in his sight.
Now, I want us all to look at this Romans before I let you go, because I want us to understand this concept when we're telling you that we are focusing on pleasing Jesus and not people. Mm-hmm. Let's see how we got to this point where people are overcome with compromise. Romans chapter number 1:24-32, very famous passage of scripture, but I think we need to have it fixed in our mind when we are trying to get an understanding for the society that we are living in, the environment that we are living in. Why is it this way? Okay, let's read.
For this reason, God delivers them to sexual impurity as they follow the lust of their hearts.
Now remember, what did we learn already from that scripture? That the wickedness was already, we were alienated, and we were enemies in our own minds. All right? So what did the Lord say? I gave them up to follow.
Yes. Sexual impurity.
Yes.
As they follow the lust of their hearts.
Yes.
And dishonored their bodies with one another.
Keep going.
They exchanged God's truth for a lie.
What did they do?
Exchanged the truth for a lie. And worship and serve the creation
more
than the Creator, who is blessed forever. Amen.
Keep going.
For this reason,
because people chose to please one another rather than pleasing Jesus, he says, for this reason, God delivered them to what?
Degrading passions, as their females exchange their natural sexual function. For one that is unnatural.
Keep going.
Says in the same way, their males also abandon their natural sexual function towards females and burn with lust towards one another.
Males
committed indecent acts
with males
and receive within themselves the appropriate penalty for their perversion.
Keep going.
Furthermore, Because they did not think it worthwhile to keep knowing God. God delivered them from the greatest mind to perform acts that should not be done.
Keep going.
They have become filled with every kind of wickedness.
What are they filled with, saints?
Every kind of wickedness, evil, greed, and depravity. They are full of envy, murder, quarreling, deceit, and viciousness. They are gossips, slanderers, God-haters, haughty, arrogant, boastful, inventors of evil, disobedient to their parents, foolish, faithless, heartless, and ruthless. Although they know God's just requirement.
They know his requirement. They know what Jesus made them to be able to do. But in their mind, they say, I don't want to do what Jesus say do. I want to do what I want to do.
That those who practice such things.
What do they do?
Deserve to God. They not only do these things, but even applaud others who practice them.
See, this is the society that we live in.
Right.
I am telling you flat-footed, do not compromise.
Right.
Satan wants you to be submissive to the way he does things. But there is a way that seems right. But the end is what?
Ways of death.
So you have to ask yourself that question, why will I die? When Jesus has given me an opportunity to do what?
Live.
But I must make a choice. I must make a conscious decision that I'm going to either choose Jesus. That's what the writer was telling you in 1 Kings when he says, how long will you be hot between two opinions? If God be God, serve him. In other words, if Jesus is God, serve Jesus. If Satan is God, serve Satan. Oh, El Scott, I can't say that. I'm not going to do that. It's not what you say, it's how you live.
Right.
You living like the devil is God.
Right.
And if you're living like he's God, you're going to spend eternity with him.
Yep.
He has a home. Satan has a home.
Yes.
And he is going there.
Yes.
Huh?
Yes.
The question is, do you want to go there with him?
No.
Huh? Yes. Yeah, you got to ask that question. That is one invitation you want to tear up. And throw in the trash. Huh? You do not want to call. You do not want to wonder in your mind, what will they be doing? It is a house full of laughter. It is a house full of fun. Huh? But the end of that house is destruction. Huh? The end of that house is sorrow. The end of that house is pain. Huh? But you have to make a choice and decision. I don't want to live in that house. I'd rather live in the house of the Lord. Right? Huh? That's the truth, saints. That's the truth. Trust me, you got something out the word. Hide that word in your heart that you may not sin against Jesus. Get it fixed in your mind. The word is already settled in the heavens. Get that word settled in your heart. The Lord is not going to force his will on you. You need to learn how to do what? Submit yourself to it. Remember, the ball is in whose court? It's in your court. Because he's already given it to you. Now the question is, what are you going to do with it? What are you going to do with it? If you lose, whose fault is it? Huh? You can't blame the team. Well, Scott, I lost because I was in your church. Liar. Liar. Y'all didn't have enough people. Liar. Huh? You are a liar. You lost because you wanted to lose. Because you got all the tools you need. Huh? We got prayer. Call Jesus for who? For yourself. Huh? We got a pool. Go down in the water in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of your sin, right? We got tambourines, drums, pianos, congos, bongos, hands, feet. Praise the Lord for who? For yourself. Ain't nobody else here to praise the Lord. Well, you praise him for yourself then. You got breath? Praise Jesus. Think about it, saints. Think about it. Don't go to hell for nobody else. Realize if you go, you're going there because of yourself. Because of choices and decisions that you made for yourself, right?